It's the Blank Canvas.
But, you know, like we tell you all the time, you don't have to wait till a new year to start a new beginning. You go ahead and actually start it today or last week.
I got a lot of people on TV talk about, man, it's a new year. You know, it's a new me. It's like, nigga, it's the same old you.
With DCST.
The whole 10 minutes, the manager kept on asking me, like, man, you want me to call an ambulance? I'm like, you want me to call an ambulance? And I was like, no. No. Yes. That's why they gotta get rid of all of our leaders, man, and then like throw more dumb shit in our face to distract us, man.
Like Chanel purses. Presented by Pharrell.
Pharrell, yeah, yeah, and Jordans. Where the ceiling is the roof.
And now, ECST.
I know you waiting for daddy, it won't be long, shawty, be patient, cause I'm coming for you. Riding dirty on 85, slow, taking it easy, I don't want nothing to keep me from you. I know you waiting for daddy, it won't be long, shawty.
What up, ST? How you feeling, man?
Man, I'm good, EC. How you feeling, man?
Yeah, dude, man, motherfucking Irma done came in, you know what I'm saying? We got the aftermath of Hurricane Irma up here in the A, man, and you know, she fucking shit up.
Lights on.
Yeah, yeah, man. My light's been off, man, for like a day and a half, man. And, you know, that's nothing, you know, that's like water in a bucket compared to what people went through in Texas and in, you know, in Florida, man. So I'm not really, you know, bitching, but I was kind of like in my car, like taking a long way home so I could charge my phone. Yeah. And then sometimes I would like turn my phone off and turn it on, and it'd be like, it'd go from like 1% to 13%. I'm like, God damn, come on, nigga. Still trying to go in the house, you know? Shit. But yeah, man. So, kind of, you know, fucked up on that, man. But other than that, man, I hope everybody's safe. I hope this, all these hurricanes are, you know, past us, man, so we can go ahead and get through the rest of this year.
Yeah.
Man, I want to speak on Apple real quick, man. So y'all know that the Apple Watch 3 got announced, the new Apple TV, and the new iPhones got announced. Now, you know, like I said multiple times, I'm a slave to Apple no matter what they put out. But I'm going to keep it real, man. This shit's starting to get lackluster, man. And even though I'm saying this, I'm still getting it. I'm still getting the iPhone 10 and a gun, because this shit about to be a G to get. And motherfuckers going to know the difference between the iPhone 8 and iPhone 10. And motherfuckers going to get, I'm telling you, man, right when that phone come out, I will not be flashing that shit when it comes out. I will wait till like February next year to like really have it out and about. Where you just like, yeah, so because everybody have it by then. But I'm telling you, man, a lot of people get this shit jacked.
Yeah.
Even with that Face ID on it. But man, it's like every phone upgrade, they're behind. I've been a Apple apologist, man, for so long, man. You know, I'd rather die with them. But man, like every time they pull something out, man, like the Android phones already had it out for like 2 years now. And then, like, the changes, like, the incremental changes are not that substantial to warrant these prices, man. Like, they want a G for a 64-gig phone, man. Like, it should be at least 128 for that phone, man. And then I think, like, the 256 model is $1,149. So now I got to make a choice between the 64-gig and that one. And I have the 128 right now. Let me see how much space I have left on my phone as we speak. Let's see. Just for reference. Like, motherfucker, I'm at... I had the largest one at 256, and I only have, like, 90 gigs available. So that 64 gig gonna fuck me. Mm. It's not gonna be enough for me, man. See how they get you used to shit, ST? And it's like, yeah, you know, you gotta make a choice. Like, man, fuck! But... the only difference that this new iPhone 10 is going to have is the Face ID, which we're going to get into in a minute as far as, like, how people want to, like, feel about that. So, pretty much, the phone recognizes your face. No matter if it's dark, inside of a club. I'm going to see how that works with dark-skinned people. I ain't trying to be like, funny. But yeah. I'm dark-skinned compared to, like, all of my friends. So, I'm going to see how that works for me in the dark. So, I don't know. That's probably not going to work well.
I can kind of imagine that it's gonna be a little faulty, just to be totally honest.
Yeah.
I don't think that
it's gonna be all the way.
Yeah, I don't think it's gonna be all that together. It's gonna be like not able to read face, or, yeah. You know, something like that.
Yeah, because it messed up. Oh, it messed up at the press conference today.
That's not surprising.
Yeah, but so the face ID, the only thing that's really the upgrades on it is the face ID. There's no longer a home button. It's edge-to-edge display. There's a 7-megapixel camera on the front. It's a 12-megapixel camera on the back. It has augmented reality. So if people don't know what augmented reality is, it's pretty much like you can put the camera up in like on your desk, and then it'll have like a they show like a demo of like a robot fighting, and you're controlling the robot fighting somebody else while they control them like a bird or whatever. So you could do that. You could like play games with it.
Yeah.
Or with augmented reality, you could like put your phone up and like, let's say you're in Spain and you're like on a famous strip in Spain. It'll show like the different historical monuments, and it'll be through your phone and you'll see it in English and stuff like that. And, it's just like, man, it's nothing much more they could do with the phone, man.
I mean, we had been saying for quite a while now that it seems as if Apple has, been running out of ideas, especially since, Steve Jobs passed away.
Yeah.
You can kind of tell that, everything that was so amazing about the phone, about the whole iPhone series it's gone down. Like, you can just tell that, it's not as innovative as it used to be.
It's just going off of his name. Just like, man, I know we're going to get blasted for this, man, but just like we said, like Beyonce could just say, she could like get on the track and just fart, and they'd be like, oh, Beyonce, yeah. Beehive,
yeah.
And if you say anything about Beyonce, you gay, or you just a hater. I'm just like, man, now she farted on the track. Like,
yeah.
And some people probably be in the room, like, inhaling the shit. And she probably finished having some damn Mediterranean food. You know that shit fuck up your mouth. But yeah, man, it's like, even though I'm complaining about it, I'm gonna have it when it come out in November. I'm gonna get up at 3 a.m. to pre-order it. But I'm just like, man, it's almost to the point where for Apple to really step the game up, people gonna just not have to just buy their phones, but they already have us, so we're kind of screwed. Yeah, man, because for Android phones, I just can't fuck with Android phones, man.
Yeah, me either.
I just can't. They got us, man. Fuck.
Yeah, I mean, what else can we say, though?
Yeah.
I mean, I seriously thought that, maybe after, after this one, it's going to be a while before I get another one. Cause I mean, I waited a couple of generations just before I got this one, I decided to get this one, based on the fact that there's nothing that's really new about the phone. I just don't really see myself, shelling out for another one after this one comes out. Cause what for?
I have the 7 Plus, and I actually like this phone. And I was like, man, if they don't bring out a big version of the iPhone with this little anniversary edition, I think I'm just stick with this one. But since the iPhone 10 screen is bigger than this screen and it's smaller, it's in between a Plus and the regular iPhone. I'm kind of going to get it because I'm tired of it. The screen is kind of too big, and you really can't, navigate with it with one hand, and you're driving. I don't advocate.
No, please don't do that.
Yeah, please don't do that, but you just can't. It's hard to do it. It's hard to like be in bed. Like, I get cramps in my hand holding this phone. I got a pretty big hand, but it's just, you can't reach shit. So it's going to be a little bit smaller, but have a bigger screen, so it's a win-win. So I can go ahead and go back to that.
Yeah.
But, man, it's just, if Steve Jobs was alive, I wonder what the direction the iPhone would have gone in to this point.
It probably wouldn't be anywhere near what it is right now.
You think it'd be held back, or you think it'd be better?
I think it would be better, man.
Yeah, he had more. He was never, just like everybody knew, he wasn't really a big tech geek. He was just a visionary.
Yeah.
That's what just made him the man. Like, he didn't know how to do anything. He just had just vision. Like, you do this. Like,
yeah,
you come
exactly.
here, do this, you do this, and it's going to work.
Exactly. He put the right people in place to carry out his visions.
Yeah, man. And those people are needed. But, man, I don't know, man. It's just, I'm kind of just in between myself on that, man. But, yeah, we'll have it. You'll see. I'll post up a picture of it on our Twitter in November when I have it. Like, you know, got the new iPhone. Yay. You know what I'm saying? You know, hey, and then, hey, I'm going to have a case on my shit. And if somebody call me, I'm going to have the Bluetooth on. I ain't bringing my shit out for a minute because motherfuckers out here hating. And I ain't got time. Yeah. I ain't got time to be fighting over a damn phone.
Nope.
Because that motherfucker's going to resell for a lot. So, man, y'all.
Oh, yeah. You already know, man. Like, as soon as somebody gets one, it's gonna be right back on eBay for, like, probably $5,000.
Yeah, dude. Easy. Especially people overseas in Dubai. Yeah. They got it, dude. So, yeah, I might. Now just think about it. It might be smart just to go ahead and get it.
Yeah.
And, you know, flip it. And then get yours with the money that you flip it with.
Pretty much.
Yeah, man. Keeping it real, man. Make you a couple thousand dollars.
And we probably just gave somebody a strategy on how to come up real quick.
don't listen to that shit, man. Reselling hard, man. You got to put it in a box. You got to go to the post office, man. That's a lot of gas. You got to that type of all that shit.
Yeah.
But welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Blank Canvas Podcast. We are a weekly podcast that comes on every Wednesday at 6 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on your favorite podcast services. That's iTunes, AudioMac. We see y'all, Stitcher, yeah, and YouTube. And you also can follow us on your favorite social media sites on Twitter at Blank Canvas ECST, also Instagram at Blank Canvas ECST, and Facebook at the same handle. And without further ado, let's get into the show.
Let's get it.
All right, man. So everybody was always wondering which number would be retired if Kobe got his number retired. And I always thought, I don't know, I always said it was going to be both numbers. And then some people were going to say, they should do 8, you know what I'm saying, because they did it with Shaq, you know what I'm saying, that's when Shaq, you know, he did his with Shaq. And some people said they should do it with 24 because, you know what I'm saying, he got it on his own with Paul Gasol. But they announced on Tuesday that they're going to go ahead and retire both numbers, you know, pre-rape and post-rape. Kobe, you know what I'm saying? Moesha, with Moesha, after Moesha, you know, Kobe, and then, you know, Kobe and non-fro Kobe.
Yeah.
So, man, I think it's smart.
Receding hairline Kobe,
hell yeah, where he's like, it's like, it's almost like if you're not really, like, close to him, you think it's not receding because it's so fucking low.
Yeah.
But, like, if you get right where you get close, it's like, man, you can see just like what LeBron trying to do. Like,
yeah.
LeBron, you ain't fooling nobody, man. Just cut that shit off, man. Put a headband on it.
Yeah.
It's not going to affect your, I don't think it's going to affect your marketability for you to be bald. I think that's what it really is, man. I think you think his marketability is going to really be affected if he shaves his head off. But, yeah, I don't think 8 or 24 should ever be worn. If you play for the Lakers, you should never wear either of those jerseys, man. That motherfucker was a beast in both of them.
Yeah.
And, he's one of the all-time greats. He's one of my favorite players of all time, man, period. What you think, man?
I guess without thinking about it, I thought maybe just the 8 should have been retired.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just based off, you know, everything, you know, the rings, you know, the 3 rings that he got with Shaq. And did he score his 81 points with 8 or 24?
That's 24.
Well, okay. Well, I guess for that reason alone, I guess that should be the reason why they should retire 24. Because to me, honestly, 24 represents selfish Kobe. Like Kobe that, you know, didn't rely on his teammates for anything.
That makes sense. Kobe, kind of point.
Yeah, Kobe that took all the shots. Kobe that, you know, was pretty much a savage on the court.
Hell so, yeah. I didn't mean to butt in, man, but I'll never forget, man. I'll never forget that time that they had the mic in on the last shot, on the last play of the game, and Lakers was getting the ball. I remember Mike Brown was the coach. So, you know, the dark ages of the Lakers, you know, Laker Nation. And, like, Mike Brown was, like, writing out the play, and all Kobe said was, give me the fucking ball. And Swaggy P just looked at him like, nigga, what the fuck? Like, he, like, yeah. He stared at him like, you serious? And, then, like, Kobe was just like, stomping his feet, rocking back and forth, sweating, like, give me the fucking ball. That's all he said. And he was like, he was serious. And then, like, Mike Brown just, like, stopped writing on the back, on the pad. And was like, all right, y'all go ahead and get it then.
Yeah,
that one little clip defines Kobe when he wore 24, dude.
Yeah,
yeah.
For that, I don't think that should be the number that, you know, is retired. But, you know, but like I said, him scoring the 81, I think that kind of saved it for him.
Yeah.
But I mean, either way, it's not a surprise. Everybody knew that. You know, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yep, easy.
You know, easily, you know, top five, if not top three NBA players ever. Man, you know, I'm happy for Kobe. He got his rings, and he got his, you know, he got his legacy. So, I mean, hey, congrats, man. You know, I guess hopefully he'll continue to do great things, you know, with his influence and with his money. You know, but that's pretty much all I have to say about Kobe.
Okay, let's say a hypothetical. Let's say LeBron ends with four rings, which I'm thinking is going to happen. I think he's only going to get one more ring, man. It's just like, it's going to be catastrophic. Something catastrophic is going to have to happen to the Warriors. Like, man, like KD going to have to, like, fuck, like, Stephen Curry's wife.
You stupid.
And they got to just, you know what I'm saying? He got to do that. Like, for real, man, it's going to have to be something like that, man, to break up this crew. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be something like that, man, because, like, they coming, man. But I saw, man, people always try to make something out of nothing. I saw a picture of, there was a picture of LeBron, Westbrook, and Melo all standing together at Fashion Week. And everybody talking about, man, LeBron trying to get Westbrook to L.A. when he come to L.A. I was like, this shit ain't gonna happen. Please let it happen. But that shit ain't gonna happen, man. But, like, LeBron, like, for LeBron to beat the Warriors, it would take him, Westbrook, Paul George, and our core to have a shot. And our core, like Lonzo and Ingram would have to step the fuck up in 2 years to be able to compete next year and actually be a fucking threat to the Golden State Warriors, man. And It's possible for all three. It's like, never say never, but I don't see Westbrook coming. And if Westbrook don't come, like, Melo's, like, on his, like, last leg. And then we'll have, like, we have to put, like, everything in on that 1 year. And then like, from what I'm hearing, like, Melo don't even want to even play with LeBron. He really wants to go to Houston, like, real bad.
Yeah, he does. He's been pushing for that trade for the past few months. And, you know, trade talks kept falling through, so I don't know. We don't know if that junk is gonna happen, and I don't really see New York buying him out, because that's a lot of money that they're gonna have to just shell out.
He's not gonna take like a reduced payout like Dwayne Wade's gonna do. And then, like, I saw another report talking about Dwayne Wade considering joining the Lakers or the Heat. I mean, or the Cavaliers. I'm like, I don't want you, Dwayne. Like, you're a shell of yourself, man. Look. I don't, like, the thing about LeBron coming, the one thing I'm worried about LeBron coming to L.A. is him trying to trade off all of our young assets, man. Well, I'm going to keep it real. If LeBron's trying to get rid of Ingram to bring somebody in, I don't want it. Because LeBron only got 3 years tops at his prime left.
Yeah.
And in those 3 years, he could possibly get us one ring, and that's worth it, the sacrifice.
I say he got about five good.
Okay, if he got
good
five,
solid years.
If he got, you including this year, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I wasn't including this year because he ain't on the Lakers, so it don't matter. But like, okay, be honest. In these 5 years, LeBron got 5 years left. How many rings he gonna get in these 5 years? I think one.
I was about to say either one or two.
He is. If he get two, that'd be remarkable.
Yeah, it would. And that's the thing. If Lonzo turns out to be this Magic Johnson type of dude, you know, the younger guys on the Lakers squad, they, you know, especially Ingram, if he grow into, you know, a nice little piece, and I don't see why, I mean, cause you know, LeBron could take the Nets to the finals right now.
He could.
Like, that's no lie. He could take the Nets. So if they could get, you know, just if LeBron could get 50% of their potential within the next year or so, that's good enough. I think that's good enough to beat the Warriors. The only thing is they got to hit shots. Plain and simple, they got to continuously hit shots because the Warriors don't miss.
They don't.
Like they can't, you know, they can't be coming down on 2-for-1s.
Mm-mm.
Like they can't do that.
No, they can't.
Because they don't miss.
They can't. Because I'm gonna keep it real. If it's just LeBron and Paul George coming next year, they ain't gonna be enough. We need one more.
No.
We need one more superstar, and then we'll be able to compete. Like if it's Melo or it's, because it can't be CP3. Because I'm gonna tell you right now, it's if they're trying to like bring the banana boat game together. Like, fuck yeah. CP3. We're not getting rid of Lonzo for CP3. That might be, like, the straw that broke the camel back for, like, Magic Johnson for, like, LeBron coming in. Like, man, let's try to get rid of Lonzo. I'm going to bring in CP3. Like, that motherfucker's, like, almost – he's 30. Was he 30? Or – let me see how old is CP3, man. It's not worth it, man. Like, Lonzo is going to be a freaking beast. I would not do that.
Yeah, that'd be stupid.
That'd be stupid as hell, dude.
They'd be giving away your future for 2 years.
Yeah, 2 years, period. Man, I couldn't do it, man. But ooh, what happened if we were GMs now? LeBron came to us like, man, yeah, he's 32. Fuck that, man. No. Yeah. LeBron came in and was like, man, I want to get rid of Ingram. Okay, they say I want to get rid of Ingram, and I want to get rid of Lonzo, and I want to bring in, let's say he wants to bring in him, PG, Chris Paul, and Melo, but get rid of those two. Oh, they ain't worth it, man. All them in their early 30s, man. Like, you be going for it for the first 2 years, and then after that, people would be like, man, we let go of Lonzo, but we got a ring. And then after Lonzo just turns to a fucking beast.
And also, you got to think about how much money they're going to be siphoning from the cap.
Oh, Westbrook's going to take a pay cut. For sure, people that be taking a pay cut is going to be CP3 and Melo if they come, because they already old. And then like Paul George is gonna be the youngest one.
Yeah, but he's still gonna probably command a good piece though.
Oh yeah.
I mean they might take a cut, but it's still gonna be a significant amount.
I don't know, man. Cause we'll see how this year goes. The only way I see LeBron leaving the Cavs is if they get freaking Dunny like they did last year in the finals, or they don't make the finals. But if they're competitive and it comes down to like a game 7, he might go ahead and stay.
Yeah.
Yeah, in all honesty, he might stay. But yeah, man, speaking of Melo, man, what happened? The ESPN had a poll.
Yeah, I saw that.
He had the top 100 players. He had Melo. He had Lonzo Ball ahead of him, dog. And Lonzo only played 1 minute of regulation of basketball, man. That is disrespectful, man.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I think what they going off of is, you know, basically everything that's happening with you know, this whole off season. So the fact that, you know, he can't make it past a certain part of the playoffs. He's been in trade rumors so much. The whole thing with Phil Jackson. I think that's what has been, you know, pushing him down the ladder, I guess.
Yeah, and then I saw on Twitter, somebody said, this junk is wrong, man. It's all about mellow circumstances. He didn't have to sign that fucking extension. He didn't have to do that.
Yeah, I mean,
he went for the money, which I don't blame.
Exactly. We all know what his intentions were. Like, you know, that's basically like that. You could see that plain as day as soon as he signed it. Cause I thought for, you know, at least 30 minutes, I was like, all right, Melo. So, you know, he ain't going to take no crazy deal. He going to, you know, allow somebody else to come in here. Cause, you know, Amari Stoudemire didn't work.
Yep.
I was like, all right, so he gonna get somebody to come in here and, you know, and play with him. Dog, if this nigga didn't take like 98% of the cap, I'm like, what are you doing?
He wanted like, the money.
I was like, you don't want a ring.
Yeah, he don't want a ring at all, dude.
Yeah.
He gonna regret this shit. He gonna bend his last leg on somebody's bench, on the Warriors bench in a couple years, trying to get a ring. And he gonna get one, dude, because these motherfuckers coming.
I hope not, man.
He gonna go ring chasing, man. Watch. He gonna go ring chasing. Start just taking the minimal. He gonna be one of those players.
I'm sure he will go after it, but I hope he don't get it. Not like that.
Yeah, cause he definitely will not see the. He will not see the. He will not get in that many minutes, man. Playing on that squad,
no.
Not at all.
We already got one Kevin Durant, and that's enough.
That is enough, dude. That is enough. Cause I can't believe. That the Cavaliers are willing to trade Kyrie to the Warriors for Klay Thompson. That would have made things worse.
Yeah, it would have.
That would have been insane. But the only reason they didn't take that deal was because of just the chemistry that they already have on the court.
Yeah. Bottom line, it would have been a stupid move.
Yeah, it would have been a stupid move. Cause Klay coming. Oh yeah, what happened if we had, it could be LeBron, Paul, and Klay, but Klay won't become until like 2019 unless he signs an extension, which I hope he doesn't.
I think he's out of there, man.
Yeah, but like they ain't a focal point anymore.
Let them win two more rings. Yeah, he's out of there.
He out, dude. He out. Because he's not even an integral part of that team, man.
Yeah.
At all. They really don't need him.
Nope.
And he knows that jump, man. Just come on home to L.A. like your dad. Play for the Lakers like your daddy did. You know what I'm saying? We need you. But you heard about Stoudemire say he's gonna try to make a comeback, dude.
What else?
Marbury.
Somebody else said, Marbury. Yeah,
40, man. Like,
I mean, it's possible because I mean he's over in China, you know, going off. But
statue and shit.
I think he would make like a training camp, but I don't think he would make the fire roster.
No.
I don't know.
It's a little publicity stunt. We just brought him in. Yeah, I just thought that was funny. But then our last little note on the NBA, man, like KD has some new kicks that's coming out, and it's his championship MVP 10s, the KD 10s that came out. And then the most poignant thing about the shoes is inside the soles, it has what all the pundits said about them. So in black on a blue sole, in black like Sharpie. It has lame, doesn't care about fans, cheat code. What did it say? He's changed. Not a leader. I hate him. He's a quitter, weak follower. Blew a 3-1 lead. That made no sense because he wasn't even part of the team with 3-1 lead. Oh yeah, he did blow a 3-1 lead.
He
blew a 3-1 lead.
He was the first 3-1.
Super team, can't beat him, join him. Traitor, cheater, bandwagon. So that's on the sole. And then on top of it, in yellow Sharpie, he has 16-1 and then 2017 champs. And then he has his stats for the 5 games on the right sole. He has finals most valuable player. And I'm going to say this, man. And I tweeted at him, at Blake Hill ECST. I was like, dude, you cannot change the narrative. What you did was soft. What you did was lame. What you did was arrogant. You did choke. You joined a super team. You will not change the narrative. No matter what you do, your team that you hire cannot spin this shit. They can't. Yeah. They cannot spin it, man. What you did was soft.
Yeah, at the end of the day, there will always be an asterisk by this championship win.
Yeah, man. And then, like, I remember he was doing a little interview with Carrie Champion with her little chocolate ass. I didn't know she was 40. She's still cute.
I mean, she looks older, but she still, you know, she she doesn't look like she's old.
No, she doesn't, man. You know, black don't crack. But, yeah. He said, I'm tired of people talking about me joining the super team. You know what I'm saying? Not saying I didn't put in any work. Like, man, your job got 10 times easier because, man, they got to account for all the other shooters on the fucking court.
Yeah.
They can't just stay on you. They can't just focus on you. A better shooter is out there. Like, Curry shoots better than you. So he's more of a threat than you are, especially from the 3-point line. It's just like, man, it just made the team, like him joining that team made the team unfucking guardable. You can't fucking guard the team.
Yeah, it did.
It's going to take another super team where it's like an all-star at every position and some extremely great role players that's going to take like the league minimum on the bench to make this shit work, man.
Yeah.
That's what it's going to take.
And, you know, they keep, and this past offseason, you know, they keep, you know, adding more people.
More money.
Yeah, pretty much.
More money. No, it's just, they winning next year, man. I don't care what the Cavs do. They winning next year.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Isaiah Thomas is going to be a fucking defensive liability, man. They're going to be going, they're going to be rain on that nigga.
Yeah.
So, you know what I'm saying? Jay Crowder can't do shit, man. He's a good wing defender, but it's not going to be enough, man.
No.
LeBron knows it. He's going to be 3-6 in the finals. Going to write this shit down now-ish.
Yeah.
It'll be 3-6 in the fucking finals, man. But yeah, it's like, no matter what you do, you can't change that narrative, dude. You got your ring, you got your MVP, but you did it. It would have been way sweeter if you would have did the OKC. Cause you can't compare yourself to what LeBron did. The fucking Heat were garbage when he got there.
Yeah.
He brought players with him. That team was already fucking built. I'm tired of this shit. Alright, and then let's go ahead and, What you think of the NFL games, man? This past weekend.
Man, I was just happy to have football back. To be totally honest with you, I didn't even care about the quality of the games. I guess maybe this week coming up, I have more of an opportunity to sit and dissect games one by one. But man, I was just happy to have football back. It was nice to see. You know, some new, I guess, stars in the making. I guess we'll see by week 6. Yeah, we'll see by week 6 if, you know, some of those same, you know, stars are still, still popping like they were in week 1. Because it is just week 1. So, but, you know, I'm happy, man. Football's back. Real quick, man, I want to talk about Baker Mayfield, man.
Go ahead.
I'm so pissed that he apologized, dude.
Yeah, because what people don't know, for people that don't watch college football, so Oklahoma played Ohio State, and the previous year Ohio State went to Oklahoma and they beat them, and they sang the Ohio State's fight song in the middle of the field. So what Baker Mayfield did was he took the Oklahoma flag inside of the shoe, Ohio State's home stadium, and like spiked the flag in between the O at the stadium. But go ahead, finish, Isti.
And so basically, I guess the administration of Oklahoma University, somebody went to Baker Mayfield and told him to apologize, I guess. Or it would probably be in his best interest to apologize. And if I was Baker Mayfield, I would have told them to kiss my ass, because I wouldn't apologize for nothing. And I would just basically say, yo, what you gonna do? Suspend me? And then, hey, you can go ahead and suspend me, but then you have to explain to Oklahoma alumni, Oklahoma boosters, and Oklahoma fans why the season is going up in flames, because, you know, because I acted not inappropriately, but I acted upon emotion. Yeah. Like, you know, I had a pretty decent game. I was emotional, and what happened. And you should just take that and just run with it, because at the end of the day, it's a football game.
Yeah.
It's college football. I'm not getting paid. I'm barely eating 3 meals a day. So what you expect for me to do?
Yeah, dude. So, yeah, he shouldn't apologize for that, man. But yeah, some of the college football games on Saturday was fucking awesome.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah, man. And it was good.
I was thoroughly enjoyed some of those games, though.
But yeah, the pros have been pretty good so far. So many whack ass quarterbacks. So you know that goes back to Kaepernick not having a job, man. And Scott Tolzien did not disappoint. I knew that motherfucker. I knew Scott Tolzien would not disappoint, man. That motherfucker was garbage. Tom Savage for the Texans didn't last a whole game before Deshaun Watson came in. I thought that shit was funny as hell.
He didn't last a half, did he?
He lost a half, no, man. They replaced him at the halftime, but then like Deshaun Watson started out good, then he started getting antsy, and I'm telling you, man, they need to go back to Savage because that line's not good enough to protect Watson, and I'm telling you,
no, it's not.
Watson gonna end up like David. Was it David Carr?
End up like Andrew Luck and be hurt. But I think the one thing that Watson has an advantage over a Savage is the fact that Watson can actually save himself.
Yeah, but you don't want your running. You don't want your drinking quarterback always running for his life, man. Starting out, man.
That's true, but I mean, if you go look at the positive, that's the one positive about it. So I mean, what do you want? Just at least give your team a chance to win a game, or just throw your hands up and know that you're gonna walk out with a loss, you know, every week.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I think they should cut their losses and at least give them some time to. Give him some time to progress, man. Cause shit, if he
real quick, breaking news: Dwayne Wade signed with the Cavs.
Holy shit! Hold on, man. So he got bought out already?
Wow. I guess so.
Wow, he got bought out.
He signed for 1 year, $5.2 million.
God damn, why they spend all that money? What happened to somebody get injured? They can bring somebody else on. The fuck? Why they pay him all that money? So what they need to do, like keep it real, what they do with Dwayne Wade is sit his ass down.
To the playoffs. To the
playoffs, yeah. I wouldn't even play his ass. I would treat him like Pop treated Duncan in his last couple years.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I would do, man. Like Dwayne Wade would not play until it need be, and if they held him out and rested him to the playoffs, man, Dwayne Wade could be a huge asset.
Be good.
He could be a huge asset, man. But man, I knew this shit's gonna happen anyway. When they were talking about him getting bought out, so I guess Dwayne will go ahead and do this 1 year with LeBron, and then probably go back to the Heat and retire with the Heat because we sure do not want his ass with L.A. Man, we ain't got time. We ain't got time for no dead weight. We're talking no brother shit, no banana boat shit. Like he ought to be down the boat. He ain't even worth the shit no more. Nah, man. If he coming, I'm just like, man, what the fuck y'all doing? Like Magic, I know you're trying to get LeBron, but you can't let LeBron have this much power.
Yeah,
man. You gotta be like, nah, man. We can't bring on Dwayne, but we'll bring on somebody else. God, dog. But we'll see, man. This I'm not gonna lie, man. I'm looking forward to the NBA season this year, man.
Yeah, me too.
I'm really looking forward to it. Dude. It's gonna be nice to see, the Warriors just like glide through the West, and the Cavaliers glide through the East, and see them again for a fourth time, for a straight time.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, but it should be straight, but On a somber note, I know a lot of people have heard about Kanika Jenkins.
Mm.
And for the people that haven't heard about it, it was a young girl that was set up by her friends, and she ended up getting raped and killed and put in a hotel freezer in Chicago. And a lot of people have, seen the video because, everybody's doing like their little, Facebook investigations online, so I know you saw everybody seeing like the little 28-minute video of a girl explaining what happened inside the room, and then like little video of the actual, like, that where she actually got raped at in the hotel. They had, like, a girl was, like, on Facebook Live at the time. You could see her reflective glasses. You kind of see the girl and the guys. Like, one of them had, like, a blue jacket on, and one of them had a red jacket on. But it's crazy, man, because you really can't trust anybody, because they have, like, the history of the chat between the girl and the guys, talking about how much money, talking about trying to set her up, how much money you talking about $200, and talking about, okay, bet we got you, gonna fuck her up. Like, man, it's sad, man.
Yeah.
Got a drunk, raped her, then, like, on the video, you can hear her screaming, help me, and they turn the music up loud. And I'm like, the whole time, why you even on, like, if you're doing something that, if you're doing something, if you're committing a crime like that, why you even on Facebook Live? It just shows how fucked up some people are. They just want attention no matter what, no matter how they get it.
Yeah.
That's what's wrong with us now, man. We just thrive on attention.
I was just going to say, but, you know, just, you know, all the times we hear about other people getting killed, or robbed on Facebook because, you know, they're showing off. You know,
yes.
It's the same thing, man.
The same, man. It's sad, man. Girl lost her life. She thought she was with people she could trust. That's the thing. That's the scary part about it, man. Cause, like, the girl that set her up, she's in, like, all of her pictures on social media, like, goes back, like, years. So this girl been plotting on her for a long time. Or, like, maybe, like, a guy that she, like, ended up liking her, and then she, like, got back at her, and she didn't even know that the shit was going on. Because the motherfucker was just smiling in the face. You never know, man. It's on some bullshit. And then on World Star Hip Hop, they had a video of a girl trying to commit, because she, a girl that was there in the hotel room that set her up, too, was trying to commit suicide on Facebook Live before the cops came in and arrested her. And you can tell she really, really wasn't going to cut herself up because she had, like, 6 kitchen knives in her hand at the time, crying and shit, because, you know, her life's over.
Yeah.
And they didn't even try to even save her, man. They just let that shit happen. I don't even care the dudes had guns on them. You got to be like, man, no, this is not right. I don't care if the girls in there wanted some of the girls, you know, some of the guys to, you know, hit, you know, fuck them necks.
Yeah.
It's sick, man. It's like nobody you could trust, and then people on Twitter making videos trying to become, you know, internet famous, talking about, if that was me, I wouldn't have did this. And I'm just like, man, clean your room up. Your room all fucked up in the back. Those videos, man, where motherfuckers be like trying to like explain what happened, and it's like roaches crawling in the back and open pizza boxes with condoms in it, use condoms and shit in and stuff, man.
Yeah.
I mean, people, everybody just want attention. Everybody want to subtweet. Everybody want to subtweet a joke, you know, to get internet famous. It's kind of sad because, like, when somebody's tweet blows up, people just like, man, like, when you get famous, man, don't forget about me. I'm just like, man, like, getting retweets and likes not going to get you anywhere, homie.
Yeah. I mean, you know, some dudes think it will.
But, yeah, man, it's kind of sick, man, that our sister ended up getting set up when she thought she was in an environment that she felt safe.
So, I mean, what did they ever tell, I guess, what the purpose of her even being with these people was?
It was a party. They were just partying. And who else? Who the fuck? Who the fuck party at the hotel? I don't. But they went to the Crown Plaza Hotel, and it was by the O'Hare Airport. And they were partying there. And, you know, just getting drunk, doing stuff. And yeah, the guys raped them. You can hear in the background yelling, help. And the girl just sitting there and talking about what y'all about to do next, and the music blasting and some nigga music. Another. She was 19 years old, man. That shit's sad, dude.
Wasted life, man.
Wasted life, man. All over some bullshit. All over because dudes can't spit game well enough to get their own. Can't get no vagina on their own, so they're gonna just take it, man. I hope them dudes ride in prison, man. It's bullshit.
Hey.
And then on another note, you ever heard of PewDiePie, man?
No.
Yeah, so PewDiePie, for people who don't know, PewDiePie is a famous internet YouTuber. The motherfucker made $4.2 million a year just playing.
How much?
He makes $4.2 million a year just making YouTube videos and playing video games on YouTube and making weird noises and shit. Don't get me started, man. It pisses me off. But he said nigga on, he said nigga while he's playing the game, and people are outraged by it. And then so many people are trying to make excuses for him saying nigga. Talking about, one person came up with the most implausible statement I've ever heard in my life. One guy said, if a dying white kid as Make-A-Wish Foundation for that, he's pretty much said like his last thing he wants to ever say in the world is nigger. Yeah. Will you let him say it? I'm just like, why do you want to say the word that bad? Like, that's not even a good example of why a person that's not black to use the word nigga. It's like, he got to be on his deathbed. He got to be cancer ridden, and his last wish is to say nigga. Like, if that's your wish, you probably have to be saying it. Like, you know?
I got 3 weeks to live. Tell my mama I just want to say nigger one time.
One good time. As he died, nigger. the only reason white people want to say nigger is because, and the only reason people are mad about the only reason why people are mad about the word and why they can't use it because there's no repercussion for us using it. If they use it, it comes with a lot of repercussions now because of social media. But before then, they were saying it with free reign. But now that everybody's a reporter and everybody gets stuff on their iPhone or their smartphone and it's there forever on the internet, it's harder to get away with stuff. You know how to overlook things because it's just there.
Yeah.
But everybody coming to his defense had real shallow remarks saying like, hey man, we can't be outraged when people say certain things. We have to just kind of, you know, just go with it. You know what I'm saying? He shouldn't be crucified for making a Freudian slip. I'm like, man, the way he said it, seemed like he said that shit all the time. Like Dave Chappelle said. Hey, how did Dave Chappelle say that shit, SD? I say nigga all the time, but it seemed like that nigga said nigga all the time. Like, what?
Oh, yeah. He was like, oh yeah, that nigga look like he says nigga all the time. Now I say nigga a lot, but that nigga says nigga all the time.
Yeah, he's like all the time. Like, the way he said it, because it's not the first time he said it. He said it another time playing Grand Theft Auto Online, so it's nothing new.
Yeah,
but I just thought that was funny how people like this generation like lets their sometimes. White people just get one like token black friend so they can like, you know, get, you know, be real friendly with them. And they be like, you know what I'm saying? Can I say nigger? Is it cool, you know, to say it? You know what I'm saying? Around you, you feel kind of way about it. And they be like, oh man, no, you're cool with me, man. Cause motherfuckers just happen just to be on the train. So they go ahead and let the motherfucker say it. And I tell all my non-black friends, like, man, you say shit around me, man. I'm cutting your ass off and your ass getting slapped.
Yeah.
Like, real talk, man. Right? Like, you can, somebody made a great point. It was like, man, Eminem been rapping all these years and not say it, like, you can go without saying it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much. I just don't understand what people's fascination, it's all about, they just can't say it, and we can say it, and they can't. That's all it is.
Well, it all boils down to the fact that white people always want what they can't have.
Yeah.
And if they can't have it, they'll steal it.
Yeah.
So, you know, if they could steal the word nigga, they would. I guarantee.
Yeah, definitely, dog. And then our last news topic before we get into our topic for the show is Jemele Hill. Now, a lot of people don't know who Jemele Hill is. She's a sportscaster on ESPN. She has, you know, SportsCenter at 6 with Michael Smith. They come on 6 o'clock Monday through Friday, and then sometimes kind of weird because sometimes they'll be on for like Monday and Wednesday, then be off for the rest of the week, and then it'd be like the other dude that's on there that plays both sides of the fence, like a light skinned dude. I don't forgot that nigga. Then Michael Eves, that motherfucker plays both sides of the fence. Ain't even funny. Like when he's like featured on the six with Michael Jamel, he'd be like, yeah, man, he'll like quote like rap lyrics, but then when he's on there with like a white, when he's on there like talking about golf or like a I don't even know, like a somebody on ESPN is white. I forgot their names, but I know if I see him. But you know the whole gist. He'll be like, yeah, man, tubular. I'm like, that's the motherfucker. That's the main motherfucker that'll be an informant and be in the Black Panther talking about, yeah, brother, I got you. And be the man talking about him, and him. Go.
The mole.
Hell yeah, the motherfucker, like, he'd be like, go, with like bullets be going flying through your head, except for his. He walk out. All right, man, that motherfucker, this nigga here. But pretty much, so what the tweet said was, she said, she pretty much said, Donald Trump is a white supremacist who largely surrounds himself with other white supremacists. She said, Donald Trump is the most ignorant, offensive president of my lifetime. His rise is a direct result of white supremacy, period. Said, no, the media doesn't make a threat. Doesn't make it a threat. It is a threat. He has empowered white supremacists. See Charlottesville. He is unqualified, unfit to be president. He is not a leader. And if he were not white, he would never have been elected. So true. Donald Trump is a bigot. Glad you could live with voting for him. I couldn't because I care about more than just myself. And it says, it's funny how you cling to Benghazi, but I bet you didn't give one thought to what Trump said about Central Park 5.
Nope.
Yeah. So she said that, and the ESPN came out and said, the comments on Twitter from Jermel Hill regarding the president do not represent the position of ESPN. We have addressed this with Jermel, and she recognized her actions were inappropriate. And I was talking to ST before the show started, and I was like, man, like Jermel tweets a lot.
Yeah, she does.
And after she said this, she has not, as of this time, for the past 16 hours, she has not tweeted since then. So they went ahead, I guess they went ahead and put her in her place. And it's kind of unfortunate. And I'm not happy about this at all. So don't get me wrong. I'm mad about this, man. But, you know, when you work for a white company and you're a person of color, man, you got to get in line or they'll just cut you off.
Yeah.
It's still that way to this day, man. It's kind of like ESPN is like, man, we kind of empower. We kind of pride ourselves on being diverse. But when it comes to, you know, speaking your mind on certain topics, they're going to go ahead and, you know, reel you in. And then the guy that's saying, are you ready for some football? They brought him back. And he called Obama Hitler.
Wow.
But they brought him back to see Monday Night Football. So the hypocrisy in that bullshit. But everything she said was not allowed straight facts. But because it's Trump and because he's the president, they have to set, you know, make her an example. And, you know, of course, white Twitter is up in flames talking about, I'm not going to support ESPN. ESPN going down the tank anyway.
Yeah, I'm about to say, I mean, that's not helping anything. Yeah. It's just, like, well, it's helping them to, you know, to die faster, but, you know.
They didn't
need your help in that area.
Hell yeah, but ESPN rides the Titanic, man. It's only a fucking matter of time for they hit that fucking iceberg.
Yeah.
But what she said was not wrong, man. And somebody hit up Michael Smith and like asked, like, man, hey, is Jermel, is she all right? He's like, man, she always gonna be all right. But I would love to be a fly on that in that room.
Yeah.
Listen to what they said to her and how she respond.
Yeah.
Cause you know they try to come to her on some, like, you know, Jermel, you shouldn't have said that, and you know we try to, you know, let everybody speak their mind here, ESPN, but you know you kind of went too far and yada yada yada. And she probably just sitting there like, you know, the bullshit do you have to go through being black, man?
Yeah.
Cause she not Aunt Jemima like fucking Sage Steele.
Yeah.
And Sage Steele,
bitch.
Hell yeah, man. That's the only reason she kept her job, man, because she be sucking the white man dick. That's the only reason, man. I'm talking about
literally and figuratively.
Hell yeah, dude. If there was a way for her to jump in the machine and make herself all the way white, she would have jumped that shit yesterday, nigga.
Real quick.
Yeah, real quick, dude. Like, she'll break her neck. She'll break her damn neck trying to get into the fucking machine. Dude, like that'd be crazy, man. Just thinking about how many people, if they gave you a choice to change your race, man, like the percentage of African American blacks in the world would dip like
would decrease
by like 50%, nigga.
Yes, it would.
So all they would do is just try to find a new way to categorize people that change and disenfranchise them. Oh yeah, you used to be black, so you know what I'm saying, now you're fucked. Like, what was the point? What was the point of me changing? Like, it wasn't a point, nigga. Like, I'm white though. Like,
nigger.
That shit would be dog. The white population would increase like tenfold, and
yes, it would.
And black would decrease by I don't know how much, man. It would be sad, dude. It'd be staggering.
Yeah, it would. But I think also though, it would be a small percentage, but I think a good percentage of white people would be black.
Oh yeah, it'll be a lot of teenagers. It would like the demographic for it to be like ages like 15 to 25, 26. Cause right when white kids that act black hit like that middle 20s, about to hit their 30s, they snap back into reality. Like, man, you want to get a good job? You might want to let that shit, that yo shit go. Like, yeah, you know what? You right, Bill. Let me go ahead and come back to reality. Fuck these niggers. I was like, there you go, yeah. Jim. There you go. Yeah, man. So. And our parents would be devastated. They walk in the room and they end up being black. They'll shoot the motherfuckers on sight. Oh, shit. Hell yeah, man. But we stand by our Kaepernick came out. And a lot of people, I know Sean King came out. You know, he's a big, you know, social activist, for, you know, for black people. Even though he's not black. You know, but big up to that nigga. You know what I'm saying? He's a double agent. We need double agents. So shout outs to him. Shout outs to Kaepernick. Shout out to everybody saying they have a hashtag right now saying we stand by Jamel. And you know what I'm saying? We put some up on our Twitter as well, man. We stand by her. And I hope she doesn't change act any different. Doesn't act different when she comes back. Cause I'm gonna watch the next SportsCenter at 6 and see if she addresses it. Well, she probably will.
They probably won't though.
You'll be so? Honest.
I don't think so. Because ESPN is that kind of company. Where they won't address issues that I guess make people uncomfortable on air.
Yeah.
They'll just do it either via social media or maybe their website or something like that. They won't do it on air. I guarantee they won't do that. If they do, then you know it's a witch hunt for real. Because they don't never make nobody like apologize on air. For unless they black, Stephen A. Smith did it. If they make Jamel do it, then she'll be the next one.
Yeah.
So just look out for that.
And look out for that shit, man, because that shit coming, man. But that's all about news topics. You know, that's kind of long, but let's go ahead and get into the topic.
Let's get it.
Yeah, go ahead, ST. Go ahead, man. It's your topic, son. So let's go do it.
All right, y'all, this week, something brand new for y'all. You know, something that we kind of want everybody to think about, you know, especially, you know, if you're a student, if you're a college student, you know, this is a question that you should be asking yourself. This is the perfect time to be asking yourself this question. And, you know, the question is, what legacy are you building while you're in college or even while you're beginning your career? You should be asking yourself, what legacy am I building? I mean, just think about people in your family. Think about your friends. And, you know, just study those around you, those who are above you. And just take heed of what people are doing to build their legacies. When you think about a legacy, a lot of people try to, you know, monetize it. But it's much deeper than that. It's much deeper than a financial setting. It's much deeper than that. It's when you think about a legacy, you think about an attitude. You think about a way of life. You think about what impact you have on society. I think about like. You know, some of the people that we have here, like, you know, for instance, you know, 45 and, you know, his legacy. Now, you think about his kids. Do you think that you know his kids would want to follow up his legacy with the same thing that he's doing? Like maybe in business, but not necessarily on a societal impact. Do you like EC? Do you think that his kids would want to continue the legacy of being a supremacist and acting upon the notion of, you know, hate?
To be honest, yes, because you gotta think about it, man. Like, your first teachers and your first heroes are your parents.
Yeah.
And what a lot of people don't know, and some people know, it's like common knowledge that Donald Trump's father was a huge Klansman.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this was inundated into him that blacks and everybody else were inferior all his life. And if that's inundated within his subconscious, naturally he's going to teach his kids that. Subconsciously he's going to teach his kids that by the remarks he makes every now and then. If you watch the TV, walks by and says something like, oh, you know, he's dumb. Or, you know, say, look at these stupid people. They never, you know, pay rent on time. Or they, you know, you're not saying anything racist about it, but he's just, you know, let's see, enlightening the stereotype towards certain races of people, man. So, to be honest, I think, because even like, it's funny that you mentioned that, man. I just saw a picture of Donald Trump Jr. that was like, went viral on Twitter because instead of the pictures facing him, it's facing away from the desk. And people was like, man, who the fuck does that? You can't see the pictures. All you see is the back of the pictures from his perspective. And he has his father's same hairstyle, slick back. He looks like him. And he's already ready to try to take over his father's business. So, yeah, man, I guarantee you that his son has the same racist views that he has. I guarantee it.
Hmm.
On top, yeah, man, just because it's kind of like when you already, you know, born with a silver spoon in your mouth, you're going to look and see, like, man, what did my father do to become successful? Which one's shit? Because he inherited that money. He inherited that money to begin with. And he almost fucked it up for his kids because he is somewhere dead and, like, everything he ever touched turned into shit or foreclosed.
Yeah.
It's like everything that he's ever started, man, you can't even see. It's not around to this day.
Yeah.
Except for Trump, except for Trump Tower.
Yeah, yeah.
Except for those motherfuckers.
And Trump Steaks, I think. Nah, they gone too. Yeah. So based on that assessment, you're basically saying that his kids are deemed to continue the legacy of racism and slumlord living, I guess.
Another example, man, put on the positive spin. Look at Diddy.
Yeah.
You see how Puff Daddy, like, you can go on Puff Daddy's, like, Instagram every day. He's doing something motivational, something positive. I mean, giving a positive, like, some kind of, like, motivational speech on his Instagram every single day, like, every hour. And I guarantee you, that mindset is in his children, his little girls, and his sons.
Yeah.
I guarantee you, with the help of, you know, Puff Daddy, his sons are going to be just as successful as him. Because number one, now, they ain't got to work. They ain't got to work for the money. The money's already there.
Yeah.
And, like, some of his sons already got his quote-unquote swagger. I think it's mostly because of the money they got his swag. But, not hating.
Well, you know money can buy you just about everything. So
money can buy you everything, man. It's just like, how would you act if you'd had money? Could you reproduce what your father did if you didn't have anything? If he died and then somebody just fucked him and took all his money, could you do what he did? And I highly doubt it, because you see it a lot with famous athletes. They have sons and they're like half the athlete that they are, or just had a businessman.
Yeah, exactly. I was just about to say, usually what happens with legacies within someone that, you know, that is a great power, like, the business usually turns out to be less than what it was when the father had the business.
Yeah.
Like you take, prime example, the Lakers. When Dr. Buss died and those Buss kids took over, it went down. you know, the Lakers went, they kind of went a little sideways.
Shit, sideways, they went down. you trying to be nice. Like, shit, that should be real. Like, what the, these motherfuckers got fucked up, man. Shit.
So I think maybe one exception. Ooh, also, you know, the New York Yankees, when, you know, Mr. Steinbrenner left, you know, they went down. I think maybe one exception of that might be the Dallas Cowboys. Cause you got, you know, Jerry, who was, you know, an absolute, you know, crazy man. But then, like, you got, like, people like his son that are trying to, you know, calm him down in the war room.
Yeah.
And, you know, help him make, you know, smart decisions. You know, so, oh yeah, also, you know, I think about, you know, the WWE, with, you know, McMahon Sr. and then, Vince McMahon, how he made it better. And then, like, you think about when he dies, what is the WWE going to be like?
Their legacy is going to remain, I think.
You think so?
I think Shane can do a pretty decent, I think Shane do a pretty decent job. That would be what it was, but it's not going to fall off a fucking cliff.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Well, see, that's the thing, man. Like, you know, they're pretty much going to be fighting for power because, you know, Shane has three sons. And Stephanie, she has, what, three daughters?
I think Stephanie should run it. I forgot all about Stephanie. I'm going to keep it real, man. I ain't watched wrestling in years. I ain't watched wrestling since, like, Goldberg.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying, like, you know, just, I mean, even then, though, like, I think she's, like, the chief brand ambassador or something like that. I don't know. I can't remember, but I don't know, man. Like, you think about legacies, man. And, you know, not just from a, you know, a powerful standpoint, just on a, you know, a personality standpoint. You know, if your parents are somebody or people that constantly looked out for other people, who constantly, you know, shared their home and opened their home to other people,
mm-hmm.
Who got out and volunteered and, you know, just did things for, you know, just the sake of being a good person. That's the kind of legacy you kind of want to hand down to people.
Yeah, that's a legacy within itself. It don't have to always be monetary.
Yeah. So, you know, just, you know, a lot of times we don't think about, you know, the kind of legacies that we're building because, you know, we're too far into the moment. So if you, you know, if you some stinking ass, lazy ass nigga and like, you don't want to do nothing and you having kids and like your kids see that you ain't doing nothing. Like you passing down a legacy of stank ass and, you know.
This ain't funny, but this is real talk.
No, for real though. I was trying to be funny, but I wasn't trying to be funny.
Yeah.
But, you know.
I'm sorry, man. Go ahead, man. That shit caught me off guard, nigga. God, no.
But no, but for real, though. Like, it's just, like, we don't think about the legacies that we're building while we're building them because we're too much into the moment. So it's good to be conscious of what kind of legacy you're building, not only for you, not only for your children, not only for your children's children, but your children's children's children.
Yeah.
So, I just kind of come up with some ways that, you know, people can, you know, kind of make a difference. You know, just some small ways that people can create a powerful legacy to leave behind for, you know, future generations. And not just, you know, of course, not just monetary, but, you know, something that people can actually benefit from. Because not everybody can benefit from, you know, a monetary gift, you know. So you never know, like, a bad crack habit and a crazy week in Vegas can ruin a monetary gift in no time.
No time, dude.
So first things first, you got to decide what kind of legacy you want to create. If you knew that you only had about 5 more years to live, how would you spend those years? Like, what message would you want to, you know, send with your life to the world and to those who matter to you the most? Like, just, you know, just imagine that you would be attending your own funeral? Like, what would you want your family and your friends to say about you and how you lived your life? And, you know, like we always say, you know, don't wait until, you know, something drastic happens, or, you know, don't wait until the next year to do what you got to do. Start creating your legacy today. Like, you know, as I said earlier, if you're a college student, this is the perfect time for you to be thinking about what kind of legacy you want to leave behind.
Yeah, man. You never know when you're getting, you never know when you're leaving here either. Boy.
Exactly. Yeah,
so, and another thing, man, not just to deter, you know, older people that, you know, say that you don't have a future, man. Like, you can build a legacy at any time. You can be, like, some of the most successful people didn't get started until their early to mid to late 30s and 40s.
Yep. Yep.
Some people didn't find their fortune until then. So it's never too late. But a good start would be, you know, high school graduation, going into college, because, you know, that's kind of, you know, kind of want to get, you know, being a kid and fucking around out of your system. And then by that time, like, the fucking around kind of got, you know, go out the wayside.
Yeah. I mean, because, you know, it's usually the perfect time in which you're supposed to be finding yourself.
You know what I'm saying? You know, spread your legs, you know.
Yeah.
You know, getting dug out or doing the digging. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, yeah.
Shwing. Yeah, shwing. Go ahead.
But, you know, as you said, you know, we have a limited time on this planet, you know, and often, you know, we live as if we don't. We live as if all of our time is unlimited, you know, putting things off, you know, thinking that we'll always have more time to do whatever. Of course, you know, the truth is none of us actually really know how long we're going to live. So if you're going to create a powerful legacy for yourself, then you need to stop wasting time and start creating it today. Number three, simplify your life and focus on the essentials. It's kind of hard to say that, because, you know, it's not hard to say that, but it's kind of hard to live up to that, because so many people, you know, it's hard to calculate what, you know, what your essentials are. You know, like I can never tell EC what is essential to him, and he can never tell me what's essential to me. So
I can tell my significant other what's essential to her. She want to stay on this gravy train. I'm just playing. She want to stay on this squad. I'm just fucking around. Go ahead.
Basically, take time to figure out two to four things that are most important to you, and put the bulk of your energy into those things and let go of the rest. You know, just focus on what's essential. Like, focus on what you need. Like, all this other bullshit, let that go. Number four is probably really hard for other people to do. You know, treat everybody that you meet with kindness.
That's real hard for some people.
Yeah, because, I mean, a lot of people don't know that, you know, a powerful legacy can be created with just, you know, some of the simplest actions. You know, just, you know, being nice and being kind to somebody could probably change your life in ways that you never know. Something as simple as, you know, holding a door for somebody. I don't know, like paying for somebody's, you know, paying for the person behind you, you know, paying for their meal or something like that if you're in a drive-thru or something.
Yeah, or if you see somebody that's homeless on the street, man, just buy them a meal, or buy, you know, go get a hot and ready from Little Caesars and take it to them, man. You'll make their whole day, dude.
Yeah.
Like, period, man. They'll forget that.
Yeah, you never know how you could impact somebody's life.
Nope.
And, you know, and who knows, that person that you impact just may be the person to give you a shot at, you know, whatever it is that you want. You know, and of course, all of that, you know, leads into number five, which would to be serve to the best of your ability. And that's really hard for people to do, Because a lot of people now don't want to serve nobody. They want to serve themselves. Like, nobody wants to be a servant to, you know, people in need. You know, somebody seeing somebody, you know, on the street. And, you know, they just walk past them as if they don't even see them at all.
Yeah, man. Case in point, is a great example of people that just, you know, like, you know, I'm going to go ahead and just keep it real with myself. Back in the day, I remember I was being cordial with, like, a girl that kind of, you know, kind of hollered at me, you know what I'm saying, at,
yeah,
at Best Buy. I was working at Best Buy, and she's a Christian girl, and I remember, like, we would, like, ride to her spot, you know what I'm saying, I thought something was going to happen, but it didn't. I was like, excuse me. No, I'm just joking, man, she wasn't like that, but, We were riding, you know, to her apartment, and like somebody was homeless, and she like pulled a car over. She like, honey, you need somewhere to stay tonight? And I was looking at her like, my eyes were like, wow, like, nigga, what the fuck? Like, you don't know her? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, what's going on? And the lady was like, thank you so much, sweetie, but I'm okay. You know, I'm gonna go ahead and go to the shelter. She's like, okay then, just if you need help, I'm here for you. And I was just like, wow. It's like, man, like, I couldn't have done that because, you know, while you sleep, you know what I'm saying? She could have took a knife to your throat and it would have been on you. But she just was that, you know.
Yeah.
Just that a great servant of the Lord to go ahead and, you know, just be like, hey, man, like, I'm willing to help people any way I can because I never know where I'm going to be.
Yeah.
In the future, man. And, you know, that takes a lot of self-discipline, man.
Yes, it does.
It's just a lot of self-discipline, man. Just not to be selfish, period, to do something like that, man. Cause I don't know if I can do that. Cause people out here crazy nowadays.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard, man. Like, it's hard to just, you know, to just give of yourself.
Yeah.
Just because. Not for any particular reason. Not because, you know, you're going to expect anything back. But, you know, just because.
Yeah, that's another thing, man. Like, when you do something for somebody, please don't expect something in return, man. And yeah. don't be, like, fake, like, yeah, man, I'm helping. And then, like, you do something, like, okay, motherfucker, what you gonna do for me? With your pants down and your hands up, like, what?
Where's my payout?
Yeah, I know. Like, do something. Just do something just for the sake of doing it. And don't look for anything in return. That's actually the best gift you can give somebody.
Yeah,
and you never know, man. That person might end up hitting the lottery and come back and, you know, and break y'all something in the future. You never know.
Yeah. You know, maybe you don't know what kind of legacy you want to create with your life. You know, that's understandable. You know, we live in a complicated, it's so complicated and so overwhelming. A lot of times our attention is pulled in, you know, so many directions. And, you know, if that's the case, then it would probably be at your best. It would probably be the best thing that you should do is probably just to focus on, you know, the next right thing that you have in front of you. You know, just focus on doing that. Every time you're faced with a choice or a decision, just do the next right thing. Every time you do the right thing, you know, however you define that, you create a powerful chain of actions which leads directly to a powerful legacy.
That's true, man.
Yeah. And then, you know, finally, once again, just remind yourself that you have a limited amount of time. You know, once again, tomorrow isn't promised.
Not, man.
You have to keep that in mind that, you know, you should not put off today. You should not put off tomorrow what could be done today.
Exactly, man. Just case in point, I was reading about 9 people got killed at a Dallas Cowboy viewing party because this guy got into a fight, I guess, like his ex or his soon-to-be ex-girlfriend was over at the house. They had an argument outside of the house. He ended up shooting her and everybody in there. And then the cops came over and killed him because they got into a gunfight. And then people were just going over there just to watch the fucking game. And they think they were going to watch the game. And they're talking about, oh, I got to go into work on Monday. And to, you know, at least we won this game. You know, we'll go Cowboys. And you get slugs up in you because somebody couldn't handle their woman or can handle being rejected or getting cheated on. No telling what's going on with it. But it's just like, you never know, man. You never know. So I'm telling you, if you want to accomplish something, you want to do something with your life, man, the time is now. Don't wait for everything to be like, don't wait for all the stars to align to act like this has to be a certain way. My butt cheek got to be this flat for this to start working. You know what I'm saying? You know, I got to get my dick straight. It's curved. I got to straighten it out a little bit before I actually start on my project. Like, man, start that shit now.
Some women like the curve.
Yeah, curve it up. You know what I'm saying? But you got to do it. It is. But yeah, man, you can't wait, man. You gotta just go. Like, if your whole dream is like to be a gigolo, but you're fat, like, man, start that shit now. And you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Start banging them bras now and lose the weight as you go. Like, don't wait. I mean, you ain't got time, man. You never know. You might end up getting all the way to the where you're skinny and say you in shape. And then, like, you have a heart attack, you know, the first time you have a job.
I'm about to say start having heart palpitations.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? You need to get a chance to even, you know, do your new job because you're fucking around.
Yeah.
Yeah, so just start now, man. Stop all this. All right, I'm gonna start it tomorrow. Bullshit, man. I'm telling you, man. Time flies.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. You gonna look up? You be looking like, what the fuck going on?
Yeah.
Man, get this shit done now, man. It's a good topic, ST, man. Letting people know.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, that's basically it, man. Like, just, you know, y'all, you know, be thinking constantly. You know, what kind of legacy are you building? Like, constantly ask yourself that. I mean, especially if you're faced with a tough decision at work, you don't know exactly, you know, what your next move is going to be. Like, you know, you may be on the threshold of leaving your job because, I don't know, maybe you have a business venture that you want to pursue. And, you know, maybe leaving right now wouldn't be the best option, but maybe it will be in the next, you know, month or so.
Yeah.
But, you know, just ask yourself, you know, what legacy am I building? Like, while you're sitting there, you know, in that chair making somebody else richer, be thinking about what you could be doing to not only start your legacy, but allow it to flourish.
Yeah.
For generations 10 times behind you. Like, be thinking about stuff like that. Like, because that's what all the geniuses do. That's what all the most powerful people in this world do.
If you start a legacy, it doesn't mean that you necessarily have to finish. You could be the stepping stone for the next generation. You can get it started. Yeah. Then your son or your daughter can come along and finish it.
Yeah, just be the blueprint.
Yeah, get it started, man. That's just our problem. That's our problem with, you know, speaking, you know, black folks, man. We have nothing to pass down to our kids but spite and, well, just hatred and, you know, disdain and regret. It seems like that's all we're passing down to our children, man. Let's pass some fucking money down, man.
And genetics. That's it.
Yeah, let's just stop, like, man, like, digging holes down and, you know, and jumping and shit, jumping far. And, you know, running fast, man, that shit ain't gonna last much longer, man. Like, man, we need to start handing down monetary thing, assets.
Yeah.
That's what we need to start handing down to our kids. But, man, good topic, man, SD, man. It's a real good topic.
It's
easy to be said.
Yeah, because, you know, we pretty much, man, this show is basically, we're trying to, you know, give y'all, you know, everything that needs to be said that hasn't been, you know, hasn't been said. Or maybe it has been said and nobody's really paying attention.
Well, you need to fucking listen. Listen.
So, yeah, we just trying to, you know, we're trying to enlighten our family, man, because we want everybody to shine. You know, we don't care what race or creed you are. We want everybody to shine.
Everybody need to shine, man.
You want everybody to come together, everybody to, you know, to live in harmony, live in peace. Cause, I mean, cause it's possible.
It is, man. It's extremely possible. Just people just don't think it can be.
Yeah, they don't want to. That's the reason why. They don't really want to. It all comes down to the fact that, you know, especially for us, man, we really don't want to see each other shine.
Man, dog, we see somebody shine, man, it'd be so much hate come out of our, man, so much hate spew from our bodies, we can't even hide it.
Yeah.
Can't even hide it, man. Like we wear our hate on our sleeve, man. We're like, yeah, man.
We do.
Like the whole time, he's like, yeah, I'm happy for him. Like, why you loading a gun? Like, nigga, what you loading a gun for? I thought you were happy for the nigga. Like, I ain't. And like, we need to like, I always applaud success, man. When somebody's successful, I applaud it, man. So when it's our turn or whoever turn it is, like, you'll feel that love as well. And that karma, you know, no karma will come back to you when, you know what I'm saying, something happens to you.
Yeah. Oh shoot. Speaking of leaving a legacy.
Yeah.
LeVar Ball.
Yeah.
LeVar Ball. That man is the perfect. He's a mixture of two great things. He's a mixture of bucking the system.
Yep.
And leaving his family a legacy. You may not agree with, you know, his loud mouth. You may not agree with that, but. You look at the method that he has of creating, not only creating his legacy, but bucking the system so that people in his family may, you know, and maybe even future generations won't have to, you know, go through that same old avenue that, you know, a lot of our sports stars have, you know, been subject to because they don't. You know, I guess think outside of the box.
Yeah.
Like LeVar Ball, man, that's the kind of visionary you want to be. So salute to him, man. He's doing his thing.
He is, man. Even though he like may sound wild and crazy, man, he's sly like a fox, man.
Yeah. I mean, you gotta have some kind of intelligence to be able to pull, you know, this off, even though, you know, I don't think people have gotten their shoes yet, you know, so they gotta work on that, but
I think,
you know,
he always said November.
Yeah, okay, well, that's good, as long as somebody gets some kind of product.
Yeah,
you know, you kind of want to have your integrity intact.
Yeah, they'll fuck him all the way up if he just don't ever get any product. He's kept the money.
Yes, he would.
Because big ballers don't fall through with their shit. Like, okay, now, dog. Yeah. All right.
You better believe he got to come with something because Jay-Z said he bought 3 pair and he ain't got them yet. So
yeah. That's when I would go ahead and just produce them shits real quick. Like I'm gonna keep it real, man. If a celebrity bought them, like Jay, because it'll be more exposure because Jay will wear them out. And people are like, man, Jay-Z wearing Bit Baller brand. I would like if Lonzo and him had the same size, because Lonzo ain't wearing the motherfuckers anyway, I'd give them to Jay. Like, here you go.
Yeah.
Because Lonzo ain't wore them bitches since the first game. Them shit was hurting his feet.
They probably were.
They were hurting his feet, man. That's why you stopped wearing them. Another good show, man. Another good topic, ST, man. Killed it, dude.
Yeah, you know, you try, man. Just trying to get something good for y'all, for the family, man. For the fam.
For the fam. For the fam. Well, go ahead and take this bit home, ST.
All right, y'all. Like always, man, we just want to thank y'all for putting up with us for another week. We thank y'all for allowing us into your homes, into your cars, into your, you know, your earbuds at work when you're supposed to be, you know, doing that project or, you know, watching them kids, you know. We glad that you know, allow us to take over your ears for, you know, an hour or two. But like always, you know, check us out on all our social media, on all of our streaming services. Make sure that you like and subscribe. You know, take a couple minutes to rate us and let us know.
Hit the favorite button too, man. It means a lot. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I do a back. Yeah. Every favorite you do, I do a semi cartwheel backflip for it.
We just want to send a special shout out to those on iTunes and Audio Mac, man. We love y'all. We appreciate y'all.
Love y'all.
Hitting us up, keeping our playlist strong, man. We really appreciate that. Remember to keep your eyes peeled, keep your ears open. We got some things coming down the pipeline. And ignorance is not a handicap. It's a personal choice. If there is no light, you must become the light. So be the light, y'all.
Be the light, motherfuckers.
Yeah. That's it, yo. Episode number 59?
59. You know, 10 more, we'd be at 69. All right.
We about this bitch. We gonna see y'all next week.
Peace, man.
Yeah. Thank you for listening to Black Canvas Podcast. We'll see you next week. Ah!